We Like Dota, episode 32.
Are we using this one?
Take 7 starts now.
Neobog! It's Goblin spelled backwards! This is their kingdom!
Welcome back to We Like Dota. This is We Like Dota, the internet's casual Dota 2 podcast. I'm Brian Sabone-Yinger, and joining me this afternoon is the internet's original Dota 2 curmudgeon, Ben Yadnam Day.
Hey Brian, how's it going today?
Just dandy.
Great.
And also joining me this evening is Jared Clyde Frog Pedersen.
Hey boys.
I guess joining us, it's not me, it's us.
No, it's you.
No, it's us.
It's always you.
No, it's not.
It's just you. Us.
Why is it always about you?
Because it is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Okay, so a little preface here. That was from the hit movie Troll 2.
Yes, hit movie.
Not a hit movie.
Yeah. One of the best worst movies ever made. In fact, there's a documentary about it called Best Worst Movie. Highly recommend watching it.
Which
the documentary or the movie?
Both.
Ugh.
Little known fact about Brian, he loves to watch awful movies. Like, the worst movies I've ever seen have been in your presence,
because
you made me watch them.
I like to watch campy bad movies. Like, some Adam Sandler film where some romantic, you know, rom-com with Adam Sandler. Not watching that bull crap.
That's not on your list.
Plan 9 from Outer Space, on my list.
Troll 2, on your list.
On my list.
Freaks, on your list.
On my list. Love it.
Over the Top, on your list.
Correct. Yes, Over the Top on my list.
God, that movie.
Yeah, so that's in reference to the Neobog Courier that is coming with the Goblin Techies update, which is coming soon.
Coming soon. Currently in testing.
Yeah, Neobog is Goblin spelled backwards.
That is correct.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that later. But Jared, we also have a baby with us.
Oh, yes, a right special now. Guest. Special guest.
Special guest.
Baby Jared.
So
my daughter's joining us tonight because my wife is working.
Yeah.
So
if Jared has to run out of the room or things get weird.
Yeah.
That's why.
The baby.
Yes.
Well, probably the baby.
Mostly.
Yeah, mostly.
Probably.
Could be something else.
It's possible.
Yeah. All right, boys. Let's start this podcast as we always do, as is tradition.
Tradition.
With who'd you play? And we'll start with you, Ben.
Well, as you know, I've been struggling with random draft because I really think they need to have a sign, a sound or something, or a sign that pops up or whatever when you have to draft. So I got drafted
into
still
don't
a,
know how you can't figure that
know.
Out.
I don't do
I have that been thing. Keeping a count. I said, Ben, you're up to 6 missed drafts now on random draft.
At least, yeah.
And you said, those are only the ones you know about.
Exactly what I said, yeah. God. But I got random so drafted. So it's like I'm playing random. Just a random game mode or pushing random.
That's called all random?
Right. But I
kind of, yeah.
Played some Tiny, some very poorly played Storm Spirit.
Mm.
Yeah, he's
quite
tough.
Poorly.
He's tough.
Quite poorly.
Yeah, and some Darkseer. So, yeah, that's been about it. Not a lot of Dota this week.
Have you been playing something else other than Dota?
I have. I was talked into a friend of the show, Cheeks of Flappin', talked me into picking up the PS4 version of Diablo 3. Do you need to push a button or something? I could tell that you got really excited when I said his name, so we have to go find the button that makes him laugh.
Okay, Ben.
Anyways,
okay.
He talked me into buying the PS4 version of Diablo 3, and I actually think that I like that better than the PC version.
Yeah, we were talking about this because...
Really fighting about this.
Fighting, yeah. Spoiler alert. I've been playing Diablo 3 as well. Like, that game's kind of put its claws into me. This is like the third time it's put its claws into me. And and you started going into all these conspiracy theories about how the PC version was just a glorified beta test for the console version, and I don't know, it was getting a little out there, Ben.
After playing the console version, it just feels like it was designed for consoles, the whole game. Because when the game first came out, there were all these complaints about things that were left out, or the way the interface was set up, features, they're like, this feels like a console game, doesn't feel like a PC game.
See, I don't know what they're talking about. Like, what are you talking about? Well, what was left out?
Did you play Diablo 2? Like, it just...
Diablo
2 felt like a PC game, and I think Diablo 3 feels like a console game.
Why?
just the things I just said. The interface, the way that the abilities all play into each other. Just a lot of different things. I think, and playing it on the console, it just feels right on a controller.
Yeah, that's fair. So, let me ask you this. Did you ever play the original Diablo on PlayStation?
I did not.
Okay.
I didn't know that was even a thing.
That was a thing?
How was that?
Huh. It was good.
Okay.
Which is, things are becoming a little more clear now.
Yeah, but Diablo 3, I mean, I like the PC version, too. You got all on me, like, oh, you don't even like the PC version, and you get cranky, and you wouldn't let me play PC version with you, because I only want to play the console version.
Yeah, because you went all Ancient Aliens on me with all these weird conspiracy theories.
Whatever. I like the PC version. The PC version just had a patch come out that added a lot of different features to it, and is ahead of the console version with features.
Double troll goblin spawns.
Right, and it's all kinds of cool things going on with the PC version. I just feel like playing the game.
Or no, Treasure Goblin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. But playing the game, it just feels nice on a console. And it's great. I can pause it and take my dogs out to crap and do whatever else I need to do. Mm-hmm. And stuff. So it's nice. Yeah.
That is nice.
Well, if you're playing solo, you can pause the PC version
too. You can. It just feels better to have a pause button.
Okay. A button that's singularly dedicated
to
pause.
It's not called. It's called like the options button.
I think it's called start, which seems a little unintuitive.
No, on the PS4, it's an option.
Unless you unpause
the options button.
When you unpause, start makes sense.
Seems strange.
Yeah, the start button was always weird. I think that's why they changed it to options. Options makes sense.
Okay,
that does make a little more sense, I guess.
Okay. Anything else, Ben?
It's been fun. Diablo 3 is fun.
Jared's having mic issues.
That's all I've been playing. What have you been playing?
I'm
going to ask Jared first.
Yeah, let's ask Jared first.
Jared, what have you been playing?
It's much, much less interesting on my end. I've been playing almost nothing.
Good.
But I did play one game of Dota this week.
Okay, that's fair.
And I tried out something I've been wanting to try for a long time, a little support Kunkka.
Interesting. Yeah. How's that work out for you?
I love it.
Okay.
I love it so much.
Tell me, what is it that Kunkka does that makes him a good support?
He offers a lot of control.
Okay.
That X marks the spot, man. You can really just catch people out of position, and then it lines up easily with other stuns. He has good strength gain, so he, even if you don't get any many items on him, he has enough sustain with himself to not just get blown up like most supports.
Right.
And then you have like the boat is such a team fight centric.
Oh, it's so good.
I mean, that rum that comes with it, like the damage delay. It's unreal.
It does good damage, but the buff is real good, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that he kind of works as a support pretty well.
Where'd the exposure come to, like, how did you come up with this idea? Who'd you see use it in the pro scene? What happened?
I don't really remember, but I do remember seeing, I think it was Fnatic that ran it.
Fnatic? Okay.
But, yeah. I've seen a couple support Kunkkas.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
You see it mainly, I think, in the Chinese scene, possibly.
Interesting.
I think.
Interesting. I know you have a lot
of confident.
You have a lot of cool Kunkka, cosmetics.
Well, yeah, that was one of the other reasons. I won some really cool.
That might be the actual reason for doing this, right? Is because like,
yeah,
I have
well,
these
I've gotten on a really good streak of betting on Dota 2.
Yeah,
and I got a really cool immortal sword that's like a
sword.
It's the bayonet, so it's got like this gun with a big sword at the end of it.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
I believe the flavor text says for when your sword needs a gun or something like
that. Yeah, exactly.
It's something along those lines.
These things actually existed. I've seen one in art museums before, gun swords.
Okay.
They're real things.
That's fair. Really cool. So, yeah, well, so that's another reason.
Bayonets, but like...
Yeah, it was like a gun sword. Yeah, it was like a real like sword on a gun.
Right, exactly.
I guess the other thing that you've been playing is betting.
Yeah, I have been... I've bet on almost every game possible on Dota 2 Lounge for like the past... Yeah, I've won like
You've been on a tear,
like
betting.
13 of the last 17 games, I think, or something. I've won.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Much
it's pretty
better
legit
than my Korean betting that I was doing.
Oh, I still get screwed on Korean.
I believe
every
you
day.
Actually ran out of items to bet.
I had to stop betting.
Yeah. I was almost there. I was almost there.
It's pretty bad.
And then I hit a good one, and I got a good underdog.
Okay.
And then I won that Kunkka sword.
Yeah, you had like 30, like a 30%.
Yeah.
Win rate or whatever on, or not win rate.
But like a 30% chance of winning or whatever. Yeah. And I bet like 50 cents on it and
you
got like $4 or $5. So awesome. It was pretty good.
Good for you.
It was pretty good.
It's real good.
Brian, who you been playing?
Hold on. I want to back up. This game where Jared played support Kunkka.
Yeah.
Jared and I were having a ton of fun, and you were being the stick in the mud, as you always are in that match.
I was a little cranky.
You were like,
in that match.
Guys, can we play serious Dota?
Right, which I never say that.
Yeah.
But I did.
Well, we were also playing with an anti-mage and Zeus.
These guys were being goofballs, let's be honest.
The anti-mage Zeus lane was
the worst,
horrible.
The worst ever.
Yeah.
Well, anti-mage anyone right now is awful.
And there's been several comments on our about our Zeus comments, and
people like Zeus. They don't like that we don't like Zeus.
Yeah, I look.
Whatever. I mean, Zeus has his place.
Fine.
Anti-mage right now does not have a place.
No, Zeus is more viable than anti-mage.
Yeah, I think Ben ended the game. He played a core Wraith King. You were like level 21 or something, and this Zeus was like, or no, the anti-mage was like level 14 or something.
It was nuts.
It was pretty bad.
Not good.
No. No, it was rough.
But Jared and I had a fun time, and
I was cranky.
Well, you became less cranky once we started to pull ahead.
Right.
Once Jared and I were like, okay, it's serious business now.
And I wasn't just diving everyone.
There was so much feeding, I think, going on or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I got frustrated a little bit. I don't usually get frustrated.
Yeah.
But I just get quiet. I don't complain. I just get quiet. Mm,
yeah. I probably need to take a page out of your book, to be honest. But yeah, that kind of ties in with what I played. I played a Death Prophet that match. I played Death Prophet mid.
Yeah, and you did pretty well.
Had a fun time with that. Yeah, it was good. I got to the point where I felt a little overpowered in the early game, and probably
you got
fed,
a little too aggressive.
Fed a couple kills there.
That happens.
But I won my lane, which is good.
We had some really bad initiations early on. I think that's why I got cranky. I'm like, why are we fighting these fights?
Yeah.
Like, I just want to go farm for a bit.
Well, and that's what you're supposed to do as the carry.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's okay, though. We won. It was fun at the end.
Yeah, but
we did end up winning, which is great.
But with that, it's been my return to playing Dota after like a two-week hiatus.
Yeah, congrats. We're glad to have you back.
Feels good, baby. Feels good. And I also played a hard carry sniper with Ben.
Oh.
And I'm here to tell you that was not fun. Well, I had fun, but that hero...
it's so stressful.
It's pretty rough.
I don't remember who I played that game. But yeah, your sniper play...
I had a Jakiro in lane with me.
Yeah.
Who would either push the lane...
Oh, yeah.
...with his liquid fire on the creep lane, which I think he was trying to help me farm, I think. But he would take farm in the process.
Yeah.
Or he would... And Ben... This is something that angers Ben, because I've gotten better at it now, but he would pull the creep camp... Which I give him credit for pulling and finding finding his own farm, but it was to the detriment of the carry in the lane.
Which you are notorious for.
Yeah.
Like, why are you pulling these here?
Which now I know when to do it and when not to do it.
It can be helpful or it can be awful.
Yes. I know that it can be awful. You either
they're pushing our tower. Let's make it easier to push our tower.
Right.
That's a bad time.
Yeah, it's either... With that, it was like either tank the creep wave or try and farm under the tower.
Right.
Both options are horrible.
Yes.
Ugh, they were horrible.
Now you know my pain as a carry, how that feels.
Yeah. Sniper is potato quality, regardless.
He's better than that. He's okay.
He's better than anti-mage.
I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of potential in Sniper.
I like
there's
him,
just,
too.
There's I, just... A lot of detriment with him as well.
He's a liability.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Until he gets super fed. Whew.
Yeah.
He's the definition of a hard carry. I mean, you really have to get him some fun.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah. And Jared, I know you've talked about an offlane sniper, which I'm actually not opposed to that.
Mm-hmm.
But you really gotta bank on that mini bash.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. And in that range and all that.
What else you been playing? You've been playing some Diablo also, right, on the PC?
Diablo. Yeah, I've been having fun with that.
And we somehow lost our show notes.
Perfect.
We kind of talked. Yeah. Okay. All right. Do we want to get into the news? Do you got your show notes back?
We have no show notes, but it's okay.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about the first topic here. By the way, Jared, second week in a row that you did show notes, another excellent round of show notes.
Well, great. I'm glad that I can do something.
You're 2-0 now. So
wonderful.
I like your show notes.
So there are a lot of tournaments that are starting back up. Specifically Star Ladder qualifiers.
Yes, yeah. Star Ladder Season 10, baby.
Yeah, so I know we did the Southeast Asian ones. Are those still ongoing, or have we moved to another region?
I think
region?
So. Well, I think they're kind of doing... a little bit of everything at the same time a little bit this year.
Okay.
Or this season.
Mm-hmm. The European definitely started up now.
Oh, yeah, the European. Well, and the European is also a bigger pool than all the rest of them.
True. Mm-hmm.
So they have, I think, 16 teams in their round robin. They normally do.
Right, in each region?
No, just European. In Russia and, Russia and Europe.
Oh, okay.
And then the Southeast Asia and China are a little bit smaller, and North American is only like 8, I think.
Okay.
But yeah.
Is Southeast Asia and China two different regions, or are those
I believe
the same?
So.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, it
because
should be.
That would be like David versus Goliath.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
Yeah.
In that bracket. But it has been, and we'll kind of get into this next, it has been nice to see some of the tournaments start up because it's forced a lot of these teams to make lineup decisions.
Right. There was so much that we didn't know.
Yeah. And it seems like we're still kind of in a bit of still in flux, but things are starting to firm up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Exciting times for Dota.
It is interesting.
But yeah, let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
So I think some of the biggest news is with Na'Vi.
Of course. Fan favorite Na'Vi.
Yeah. Jared, tell me what's going on there.
So Puppy and Kuroki left.
It's a shame.
It is and it isn't.
Yeah.
The team was stagnant, in my opinion.
It
wasn't working with their current configuration. So they've picked up FNG from Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And Vanscore from Team Empire.
Which, in the pre-show, you were telling me that FNG is the brains behind Power Rangers.
He was the dude behind Power Rangers, and they were always kind of known as like that Tier 2 team that would always surprise people.
Yeah, they would always have upsets, but like when it came to like these games that they should definitely win.
Or at least they're evenly matched, they get hosed every time. They're like, terrible, 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 beat Na'Vi. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Yeah. Beat Alliance.
Right. Yeah. I have the betting history to prove that.
So what do we see FNG bring into the Na'Vi table then?
He's bringing some interesting stuff.
Yeah, what have we seen so far?
We have seen in back-to-back games yesterday, Havost played Medusa.
Really?
Yes.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious. And
is this VOD online?
Yeah, They played Cleave, I believe it was.
What?
Yeah, he played a Medusa, and it was...
What?
It was pretty legit. comboed with Death Prophet.
Oh, wow.
So you get that stone gaze that also will increase physical damage with
the
ghost.
Exorcism?
Oh, God. God bless the U.S., man. It's genius. It's genius. And then who else did he play like?
God bless the U.S.
Seriously, it was impressive.
So to say the least, it's been exciting.
It's been interesting. It's been interesting. And they're doing some new stuff. They're being super... They're going back to like the old Russian Dota kind of mentality of being super hyper aggressive.
Yeah.
Fun to watch.
Yeah.
That type of play.
Super fun to watch. So I definitely suggest if you guys are wanting to check out some interesting games, go back and look at anything Na'Vi's played in the past week.
I'm going to check this out.
And good Lord, it's a lot of fun to watch.
Well, tell me about, we've got some of the Na'Vi players. Tell me about Secret Team. What's going on there?
Yeah, first off, get a new name, guys. That's awful.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, and I understand why even if they go to Top Secret, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with Top Secret.
Top Secret.
Secret Team you don't like, huh?
Yeah, or Team Secret.
Yeah, how about Secret Spice?
I could go with that.
Secret Sauce?
Secret Spice.
Yeah, Secret Sauce.
Sauce.
But yeah, this is where Kuroki and Puppy ended up going. And they actually are joining forces with Fly and No Tail from formerly a Fnatic, and S4 from Alliance.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a lot of like these top-tier teams that have been together forever. Like the Fnatic boys have been playing together for like 5 years. Like they came over, they all came over because they played Han together. And they all came to Dota 2 as a team.
Yeah, and so we got some changes.
Here. Yeah, exactly. And what's really interesting about this is you have four people that were playing support for their teams.
Yeah.
With Fly, No-Tail, Kuroki, and Puppy. And it's really interesting to see, like, Fly's playing, like, mainly off lane, and I saw him play a Storm Spirit game.
So we're getting some differences in some roles there.
Yeah,
too,
it's really
nice.
Interesting. It's quite interesting. So
I think it's exciting to have all these changes going on.
Team Secret is Secret Team or Team Secret?
I think it's Team Secret.
Whatever the heck it is.
Secret Team.
I think it's Secret Team.
Secret Team?
It?
Okay. Either way.
It's basically...
change your name, guys.
It's basically the Velvet Revolver. of Dota 2.
Okay, okay. Yeah, okay.
It's a super team.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
They've kind of had mixed results, though.
They've not been great.
No.
Well, they're new to playing with each other.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see what happens eventually with it, just because Fly and Puppy together, like, they both were kind of known for being pretty headstrong leaders of their team, and basically, well, Puppy specifically, he would just draft and tell people what they're playing. Like, he didn't care if you liked playing it or not. When Puppy drafted it for you, you played it. And it's just interesting. It's going to be an interesting dynamic. Fly always and No-Tail always brought really interesting comps together.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm really excited to see what happens with these guys eventually, because I think it's going to be some fun Dota.
Without a doubt. So tell me, we've got some of these other long-time teams. Like, tell me what's going on with Alliance and Liquid then. So
oh, gosh.
With Alliance, you're getting Misery from Mouse is standing in. They're not officially, I think, naming him a member, but then you also have a guy, another pro player from Han, coming over named Chessie. And he's playing their mid-roll for S4.
Yeah.
He's been really good.
Okay.
He's pretty fun to watch.
He's a Han player?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So.
Is Han just falling apart?
I don't know. I would imagine.
I didn't think they had much of a scene to begin with.
Well, Complexity just signed a new team that's consisting of all old Han players.
So it's a dead game, if you will.
I think so. I think it's like Latin.
There. Dead game.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like Latin.
I don't know. I mean, you don't hear much about the Han pro scene.
You really don't.
It's interesting.
So it's probably less popular than Smite.
Oh boy. Okay. Good to know.
No, that's probably true though.
I think it is.
Okay. I think there's some truth to that.
But yeah, but otherwise the other big one that we're kind of keeping an eye on is what's going to happen with Liquid. Because they officially released Bulba and Quikva.
Who wanted to leave,
yeah. So
from do what they it have sounded new like. Homes yet or no?
Well, they're playing with this Team Tinker.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay.
So yeah, we'll see exactly what happens with that, but It's fun.
Who else is on Team Tinker? We got Sing Sing.
We got Sing Sing, Pycat, who's from Mouse.
That's right.
And then, of course, EGM, who's the other member of Alliance that's kind of gone wayside. And he's actually playing another support player that's not playing support anymore because he's playing offlane for them.
Right.
It almost feels like everybody just put names in like a fishbowl.
Totally.
Right? I mean, it's exciting stuff, I think.
It's Dota Swingers is what's going on.
It's really Dota Swingers. Fun. It's going to be fun to see happen.
Dota Swingers. Can we not call it that, please?
Just throw your keys in a bowl.
Oh,
come on.
Good Lord.
Anyways.
We're not calling it that anymore.
So other news, I guess. We'll move on from the Dota Swingers. We'll move on from that.
Fine, right.
Big patch coming out next week with Techies.
Oh, yeah. It's in beta testing.
So I guess
it's in beta testing.
The question that we have around Techies is, do we still care or do we even care in general, I would say? Like, do we care? What do we feel about
Techies? I'm over it.
Well, okay. So, this is what every all-pick game that you're going to play for the next 6 months is going to be.
Of course it will.
Okay. Ricky. Pudge. Sniper. Bloodseeker.
Techies.
Spearbreaker. Yeah.
So, I mean...
sounds pretty obnoxious.
Whatever.
Yeah, he really does.
Here's the upside to this, though. Techies actually has a stun. He has a stun.
That is an upside.
He's got that going for him.
Yeah, totally. Do we know that he's going to be mainly run as a like supporter mid? Do we know anything?
I think he's a mid mostly. I don't know a lot about him.
Yeah, because we didn't play Dota 1.
I think he fits into that category of Zeus where he is technically a support, but he doesn't really do anything to support the team besides doing damage, which your cores are doing anyways.
Right, but he at least would have a stun.
He has the stun, which is nice.
Well, he has those invisible. I think he's just going to be one of those pain in the butts to play against because he's got those invisible mines, right?
Right,
So you're just going to have to...
It's going
to
be...
I think he kind of fits into that weird support / core role.
That's Undying.
Really annoying and kind of bad, but I actually like Undying because he...
Undying's fun.
But he doesn't offer anything.
In the early game.
But he doesn't offer anything... Like,
oh, sure he does. He offers push.
Well, I realize that, but
pretty much guarantee
Techies is
going to
give you that too,
game.
Though.
Oh, Techies does, yeah.
So I think that.
Yeah. Here's what I want to know: will we ever, and how long will it take to get him into captain's mode and into
these
pro games?
That's going to be fun.
It seems like his kit just seems so hard to balance.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like the reason you're not seeing Earth Spirit,
right?
Like in captain's mode right now, because it's going to be one of those things where it's super hard to balance.
Right.
Because Earth Spirit was easily in 6.7, not 6.8, when he first came out.
Oh, ridiculous. Yeah.
He was so overpowered.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
So it's gonna
if he got good with him.
It's
going to
take a while. Do you think we'll ever see him in Captain's Mode?
Or oh, yeah.
This is going to take a long time, huh?
I hope that eventually they open it up to everything, just because
I would hope so, too, but it does look like a challenge.
Well, for sure. Yeah.
Here's my question. It seems like a lot of the hype surrounding Techies is coming from... There's like, okay, the hype is like, guys, Techies is coming, all pick is going to suck for the next 6 months. I don't see anyone who's actually like, I'm excited to play Techies. Everyone seems to be like super cynical about it, so maybe no one's going to play Techies.
I doubt it.
I doubt that.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I was trying to make an interesting discussion
and
point.
I think Valve, obviously, you know, Valve has done a lot to hype it, too.
Shooting a miss.
They've been doing a lot. I mean, with the International having the special event with the All-Star Game where they had him there.
Right.
I mean, it seems like he's the only, unless they have something up their sleeves, he's the only character this patch.
I did like how
he's the last one from Dota 1.
No, there's a couple more.
There's
three.
Pit Lord.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Pit Lord.
Some Oculus
there's
thing.
There's a few more. Yeah, we're down to just a few left, though.
Handful, yeah.
Yeah, so, and they've already kind of said that they're going to be doing some new ones. The new heroes are going to be really interesting just because they're going to no longer be limited by the Warcraft 3 engine.
Right, yeah,
so
that's going to be interesting.
They can kind of go crazy with those, but... yeah, it would be interesting. I don't see any of us really playing Techies.
You don't see like any Terrorblade though. Like there's a lot of fanfare around Terrorblade and Phoenix, and
to this extent,
you don't really
though?
See them that much though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, Techies has definitely been hyped a lot
I think
more.
So, yeah.
But I think it's mostly been by the community, not by Valve. The only thing Valve has really done is the thing at the All-Stars match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. I liked how they did that.
That was interesting.
Was the patch with Phoenix and Terrorblade didn't seem to have quite as much hype around it either, though. I don't recall.
No, it really didn't.
No, but it had just as much content with it.
It had a lot of content.
It did have a lot
of content.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Well, speaking of content, we've got a couple other things coming out in the patch.
Look at you with these transitions today, Ben. You are on point. You are on point.
Just trying to move the show along.
I have to really commend you. It's impressive.
Ben likes to move the show along because he doesn't actually like doing this.
I hate being here.
He hates the show.
But no, Jared, so you and I think, actually picked out the exact same thing. So what was
Perfect.
It that you saw that you liked?
Coming up in the patch?
Yeah.
They are adding new bot AI, so we're going to be able to play against Ricky Pudge and Axe bots, which is going to be so much fun, guys.
Great.
But easily the best part about what I was looking over with the patch notes.
Yeah.
Bots are going to have cosmetic items.
Yeah.
I think only in solo matches, is that right?
I think so. I don't know, but either way, it's going to be fun.
So when that Necrophos bot kills you...
Son of a bitch, I swear to you.
He's going to be wearing your hat.
Yeah.
As he does it.
He's going to be wearing that weird like veil thing right, that looks like
when the Pudge hooks you, that he'll wear the Pudge hook that you have.
Yeah, perfect.
The Ricky will... I don't know if Ricky has many cosmetic items, but nothing
I hate that
cool.
Necrophos bot. It's so overpowered.
It's a crazy bot. What do you think these bots are going to be like? Are they going to be?
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what the Pudge.
We forgot about the Axe one.
Right. Yeah. That Axe bot. I'm curious to see if like he's going to be like hyper aggressive, like cutting creep lanes and like diving behind towers and doing that crazy stuff. And like
he does the crazy.
I hope the Pudge bot will like as it gets up in difficulty. Like roam more and like use smokes and things like that. God, that'd be great.
Well, the bots right now are pretty bad at roaming. They do that. I'm roaming to bottom lane to gank, and then I'm roaming back to mid and back.
Right.
I mean,
you just accidentally ping, and everybody comes near you.
Right. they're not the brightest.
Right. Yeah.
They're okay. I mean, I think it's really good in terms of learning mechanics and doing that kind of thing. So no Techies bot, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Or fortunately,
unfortunately,
can't wait for that Spirit Breaker bot.
Ben, do you want to know what I'm excited about?
What are you excited about?
Please tell me, Brian.
Oh, hold on. No, I gotta unmute me. There we go.
Yeah, you muted you. By the way,
you're horrible on this thing.
New bug.
You already heard this.
It's called the spell backwards. This is their kingdom.
We had to wait for this.
Yes,
the kingdom.
It's the Neelbog Courier, Ben.
Right. That was better the first time.
That's what I'm excited about. Here, I give you one of these too.
I got time for that.
Okay. Well, your quota's up with using the soundboard. Anyways,
I can use that. Oh, that's right, Benna. You can't stop me.
I could probably unplug it. I just don't know what else I'd screw up if I did it.
No, because then you'd have to do something else for the show.
That would burn. I didn't feel burned. But
yeah.
But tell me, what are you excited about, Brian? Why don't you explain the Neelbog Courier buttons?
I'm excited for the Neelbog Courier. I just told you.
What?
Have we seen like what it's going to look like cosmetically?
I don't know. Okay, I'm just excited enough. That it's a Troll 2 reference.
Fair enough.
That's the only thing I'm excited about.
Are you
going
to buy it when it comes out the courier?
I'll probably spend some space cash on the used version on the market.
On a used version?
Absolutely. Wait 2 weeks. It's going to,
get that on the used market.
We've been talking about that. It seems like the drop-off point is about that two-week mark.
Yeah. If you can get something early, guys, seriously, sell it right away, buy it back in 2 weeks.
Well, we did that with our t-shirt and plushie stuff. You and I made a little bit of money off of those.
Oh, I made $12 on that Spectre hat.
Yeah.
That's great.
What's it worth now? It's probably only worth $4.
Like $250.
Yeah.
I don't know, something like that.
It's pretty great.
How neat is that?
So, techies.
And we lost our show notes again. What else was neat with this patch coming up? Anything?
I didn't really see anything.
Well, they're releasing, there's already a set. A cosmetic set that you can buy for techies that has the custom. If you buy the set, you get like, it's not immortal quality. It's like fantastic quality or something like that. You get some special qualities version of the set if you buy it within like 2 weeks or something like that.
Okay.
And well, it also comes
Arcana
with
set. Is that what you're talking about? The Arcana set?
Yeah. It comes with like a taunt. It comes with gems to change the colors of some of his abilities.
Okay.
It comes with...
This is one of those $30 sets.
Oh, yeah. It comes with one of those taunts that when you kill somebody, like the kill screen shows something different.
How do we feel about the $30 sets? Because I think they're just going to do this with every new hero now. Are we okay with it?
Oh, I'm not paying $30. That's a lot of money.
They can do what they want.
I'm fine with them doing it.
Yeah.
That's like two copies of Transistor.
Which you can only play one at a time, right? Unless you're really good, I guess.
Well, yeah, but it's two copies of it's a copy of Transistor and a copy of
another game that costs as much as Transistor.
Starbound. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I do think it's expensive. I'll give you that. But do people buy those? Do you guys see them in game? I don't really see the Arcana.
I don't really see the Lina one too often. I saw the Terra.
Well, that's because about six people on Earth play Lina.
Yeah, I saw the Terra Blade one.
Sorry about that one time, Ben.
Because people played. It's just because Ben doesn't know how to play Lina. And to be fair,
she's not a carry.
She has a real bad attack.
I think
animation.
That she could carry in the right situation.
Anyways, what I want to ask is, what is a good price for one of those Arcana sets? Where's the sweet spot for Valve to kind of maximize their sale? Because you're looking at supply, demand, and all that stuff. What do you think?
$10.
I was going to say 12.
I was going to say 10 bucks also.
12. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, there's three of us right now that might buy one for a hero we wanted that would never pay $30.
Right.
No.
I was really tempted for that Earthshaker set from the EG guys when that came out.
Yeah.
And it was $13.99, a bit too much for me.
Yeah.
If it was $10.99, I might have bought it.
Because that was the first time that the Fisher had been reskinned. Correct?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want $9.99. I want to feel like I've got one less decimal.
Okay, that's fair.
Covered.
That's fair.
But yeah, Valve, if you're listening to us, which you're probably not, but if you are...
You might sell more.
You might sell more if they're a little cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're maybe not as special then.
Maybe that's what they want to do.
That could be.
They want it to be scarce
it
and
could.
Rare. And
well,
that's
mean,
fair.
It
that's
needs
fair.
To be rare. It needs to be rare.
There does have to be some sort of scarcity with it.
If you're going to... I don't know.
Maybe they're making more money with it 15 being $30.
If you throw in a courier, $15. Or a ward or something.
$30 is 35 packs of nuggets from Wendy's. Think of it like that.
I'd rather have the Arcana set than that many nuggets.
That's way too many nuggets.
You don't have to buy them all at once, you guys.
That's like one a day for a month?
Yeah.
I don't want a nugget every day.
You'd have...
I don't know. Think of all the barbecue sauce.
Think of all the sodium.
Well, yeah.
You'd be bloated all the time.
Well, maybe Valve's Arcana sets aren't a bad deal after all.
Okay, think of it as 30 McDoubles from McDonald's.
Against sodium. Heart attack. Go.
Okay.
And the Arcana sets are looking better by the minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're looking healthier.
Over 30 Polar Pops from Circle K.
Also not a good thing. Talking sugar here.
All right.
Okay.
So let's move on
perfect.
Here.
Brian, right. you've finally changed my mind on something. The Arcana sets are a good value.
Especially for my health.
Yes.
For my health, yep.
Okay, let's move on to the hero of the week. How about that?
That sounds like a great idea.
I hope we move on to
this
something
is
else.
Really degenerated.
The hero, yes, it has. The hero of the week is Warlock.
Oh,
good
boy.
Lord.
So I'm going to pass this off to Jared since he's here.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about his lane and his role.
Yeah.
Maybe do role then lane.
Okay.
It's complicated.
So Warlock is a guy that you're going to. Here's my guess. You're going to see him a lot more coming up.
In what way?
I think that he's getting to the point where I think that I think he's getting a little bit of popularity and exposure, and I think people are seeing just the power of his ultimate. If you can get an Ags and Refresher, which is a hell of a lot of farm.
You don't think people understood the power of having three golems running around?
Four golems running around.
Get it right, Ben.
No, but you're seeing it more often, I think. Or at least I am. And I don't know. I really...
You have to get the farm on him that way, right?
Right. Just give him farm priority.
You run him as a core.
Okay. Is it on these weird Russian drafts?
Mainly Southeast Asian, but yes.
Okay, good.
But you're seeing him run a little bit in Russia.
Okay, so
too.
Anyway,
so I
back
think,
to the question.
I think that he should be currently, in his current state, run as a core.
Okay.
Either a farming, like one position warlock or mid. That's my opinion. You're going to see him most often as a support.
Well, I was going to say, for those who are new to the game, he is traditionally a support.
Traditionally
so
a support.
If you pick him, people are going to assume in all pick that you probably picked him as a support.
I would put in chat, hey.
Yeah, you're going to have to say something.
Ben, if you pick Warlock in all pick, people are going to assume you're playing a core because everyone plays core in all pick.
you raise a good point.
Touche. Yes.
Yeah. You raise a good point. But yeah, no, I think that's where he is best maximized as a hero.
Okay. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think I might disagree with him in your hard carry / one position.
Mm-hmm.
But I think think if you consciously run him as a core, I think that's fine.
You want him as a one, huh?
I do. I really do. I like it.
What? Gosh, I don't think so.
That's fine.
I can almost guarantee fine. Ben's going to outfarm that warlock every single time.
What if Ben is playing that warlock?
I'm still not interested in it, but I'll try it if you want me to.
Fair enough.
Then I still think it's
weird.
It is weird.
All right. Anywho, so if you're running him as a core,
yeah,
you want to run him in the mid lane or in
safe lane? I think
or in the safe lane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ugh.
I like him mid though. I really do.
I'm okay with the mid. I don't know. Not safe lane. I don't think I like.
Okay.
I think I like that.
And the right. You can't do it all pick.
Yeah,
but I think that if you have a team. Yeah, if you have him in an organized team, I think that.
Have you seen him run as a one?
Yes, several times.
I don't know.
Oh yeah,
do they win these games?
Some.
Fair enough.
All right, I'm gonna
like anything.
I'm gonna talk about his skills. Let's do this.
Yeah,
his Q is Fatal Bonds,
mm-hmm.
binds several enemy units together, causing 20% of the damage dealt to one of them to be felt by the others.
Right.
So at all levels, this does zero damage, which makes sense.
Yeah, the actual spell doesn't do any damage. Yeah.
And it costs 120 mana, the cooldown is 25 seconds, the range is 800. So the only thing that scales is the numbers of enemies bound together, which is 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
So basically, by way of more enemies being connected together, you're doing more damage to more
people.
Right. Because it grabs creeps as well. It doesn't just grab heroes.
Right.
And the duration is 25 seconds. That's pretty good.
It's a good duration.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. That's actually nice. All right. I'm starting to see this here, Jared. You cast that in the middle of a team fight?
Woohoo!
You cast that golem?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Yep. Now give me...
I might be starting to join Team Jared here.
Now give me his W, because this thing is, I think, one of the least utilized spells in the game.
In terms of a nuke?
Yes.
Okay, his W is Shadow Word.
I like it. Yeah.
Demnok, which is apparently Warlock's name, whispers an incantation, healing a friendly unit or damaging an enemy unit over time.
Right.
The damage is 15, 25, 35, or 45, which I assume is also the heal amount as well.
I'm thinking so.
The mana cost is 90, 110, 130, and 150. Cooldown is 16, range is 500, duration is 11.
Which is pretty good.
So, cooldown of 16, duration of 11.
Yeah. That's a lot of uptime.
That is a lot of uptime.
Yeah.
At level 2, I believe it is the highest level 2 nuke in the game.
Okay, so that's 25 times 11 at level 2, which is
275.
Yes. Okay, that's not bad, that's over 11 seconds. We're not calling that a nuke.
Well, it's a dot. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Not calling that a nuke because that's over time.
Yeah. But yeah, it's legit.
It's not bad.
At level 2, what is the mana cost? 110?
110.
Very efficient. I'll give you that.
I think it's pretty efficient.
Yeah.
And he's an int base, so I mean, he does have good int growth. So
yeah.
His mana pool, If you're spamming a lot, he has mana issues, but
right.
I just think you want right click out of somebody else. I know you get the golems. Is that where you're wanting your right click from?
Right.
Yeah.
It's mainly a push. It's more than a right click.
Do you need number one farm to get the eggs refresher up? Can't you do it somewhere else?
If you want to get it up by like 25, 30 minutes, you do. You're not going to get that on like an off lane.
Let's go through the other skills, right, and then we'll carry this discussion out, because I just had another thought.
Okay,
his E is Upheaval. This is a channeled spell.
Mm-hmm.
A powerful slowing current that grows stronger as it's channeled.
Lasts up to
16 seconds, slowing enemies up to 84%. What are you laughing at over there?
It's a channeled spell.
Yeah.
Which means it can't hit anybody when he's using it.
Enemies are slowed for 3 seconds
Benjamin.
After leaving the area or the spell ends.
I think that your thinking is too narrow, Ben.
Maybe.
Ben, just go back to not farming well, okay? Damage is zero. Different. Mana cost is 100, 110, 120, 130. Cooldown is 50, 46, 42, and 38. Range is 1,200. The radius is 650. The slow rate is 7, 14, 21, and 28%. This thing doesn't really seem too good.
It's not great.
This thing's kind of bad.
It's a good zoning ability.
It tends to be the last thing you would upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that it's a good zoning ability.
As the carry, and this is obviously a carry roll hero. It's the last thing that you upgrade.
Okay.
Yeah.
So his ultimate is Chaotic Offering. It's what we were alluding to earlier.
Think of this, man. You drop these golems, you throw down the Fatal Bonds and your W on somebody, your Shadow Word, and then you throw down the thing that makes it all slow.
Upheaval.
Yeah, you're going to be doing a crap ton of damage.
You will. Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway. His ultimate is called Chaotic Offering. Summons a golem from the depths, stunning enemies for 1 second. The golem lives 60 seconds, takes reduced damage from spells, has permanent immolation, and flaming fists on attack.
I mean, those golems are nice. I'll give you that.
Those golems are legit.
Mana cost really is nice. 200, 300, 400. Radius is 600. Okay, golem HP is 900.
Mm-hmm. Pretty okay.
1,200 and 1,500. The damage is 75, 100, and 125.
But
the armor is 6, 9, and 12.
Mm-hmm. And?
And?
It cleaves.
Oh, okay. It doesn't say that on here.
Oh, okay. I'll pull that up.
Okay. So that's nice. They cleave.
Yeah.
With Ag Scepter, you get two golems. The bounty reduction is reduced by 50%, which is nice. So you're feeding less gold when you summon these things. And the scepter HP and damage reduction is 25% as well.
Right.
So, Jared, what's the general strategy here?
You drop the golems and win.
See, I may have just been playing against bad warlocks. Every time they summon that stupid golem, I kind of just don't care. It doesn't do anything.
If there's four of them, you'd have to care.
Well, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but I don't think you let the warlock, if your warlock's a hard carry, I don't think you let that warlock get the farm to get the eggs and the refresher up, right? If that's their source of damage.
Well, most people aren't going to be running warlock as that farmer. Thing.
But are you thinking like a 4 protect 1 strategy with this?
No, nothing like a tricore. That. Yeah, I think you're going to run him at least on a tricore.
Let me ask you this, Jared. Once your warlock, assuming you're running him as a farming warlock with this cockamamie strategy you have.
Mm-hmm. So you're turning against them again.
That's fine.
I like Warlock as a core. If you're having him as your number one hard farmer,
mm-hmm.
once he gets Ag's Refresher, do you switch positions? Do you have someone else who gets farm?
Yeah, once you get Ag's Refresher on him,
yeah.
That's all he needs.
Somebody else needs to farm at that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. I like that idea.
Yeah, you basically expedite his farm, and then you could be running him with somebody like a Luna, even.
Yeah.
Who's going to take a lot of farm off the map late game.
Ben is not impressed. I can just...
That's fine, guys. That's fine.
I'm willing to give it a shot, but I don't know if I'm sold.
I want to give it a shot.
Well, you're going to give it a shot this game. Or this week.
Okay.
We like Dota's own Kyle Crimson Manring
mm-hmm.
has been playing Warlock mid.
Well, has he?
How's that been going?
I actually did not know that.
I don't know how it's been going.
No?
Hopefully well.
Not, I know that he's
well
been doing
it.
I think he's liked it.
Okay. It's fun. But yes. But I was alluding to the fact that Ben is going to play a game with our Hero of the Week, rushing our Item of the Week, which we'll be getting to shortly here.
Yes.
And I'll do it for last week sometime, too, because I never got around
to
it.
It was a busy week. Things have been a little wild for us.
We'll prioritize this Warlock one.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because I think it will be more controversial.
It will be, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I'm going to get... Yeah, I'm going to even try to...
But yeah, you're not going to be rushing eggs and refresher.
No, I won't be able to.
Let's talk about...
Well, I'll be rushing the item of the week, right?
Jared's totally baby different. Is falling out of the sling.
Yeah, she's not doing...
Let's talk about items for Warlock, Jared.
Okay.
Let's talk about early game. What do you get in early game for him?
Really, I mean, you're going to want to get boots, consumables. Bass Hearing wouldn't be too bad, just to give your golem a little extra, you know.
Little m-pa-pa.
Mm-hmm.
Little
mm-hmm.
extra armor there.
Yeah. And
eggs refresher, obviously.
Then yeah, you're just basically building into eggs refresher.
Mana boots, do you think?
Yeah, if you don't have a support on your team that's going to be buying them, I would say mana boot.
You'd be a good fit for mana boots. For
yeah,
sure.
But otherwise, get tread so then you can tread swap into and get your extra boost of mana.
You have BKB written as situational.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, you want to be able to get your golems down, basically.
Yeah. An extension item, mech, obviously, if no one else is building it.
Right, it wouldn't be a bad idea, given your golems.
I love mech because it's like situational on everyone. It's like, well, if nobody else is buying it, you should build it. And you just assume everyone else is building it, so no one builds it.
Right, yeah.
Unless you're Viper.
Yeah, and then everybody assumes that if you're not building it, you don't know how to play Viper.
Right.
Which is not necessarily true.
And also...
He should always be building one.
Yeah. Shiva. Shiva's...
Which, again, helping your golems hit people.
Drum of Endurance and...
For HP.
Necrobook.
I think Necrobook makes sense for him as well, because it's going to give you the extra tank HP, it's going to give you some extra minions to kind of throw around, it's going to give you the intelligence to up your mana pool and right-click.
Okay.
There you go, Ben, right-click.
So, let's talk about general play strategy with him. In the laning phase, what's going on in the laning phase here with him, Jared? Like, how are you...
Are we assuming he's safe lane?
I'm assuming that he's mid.
Okay.
I think that really prioritizing your W would make the sense of Shadow Word.
For the harass?
Yeah, just for the harass. I've seen people actually just leveling that in stats early on.
You could, because the Q and the E aren't going to come in handy.
Yeah, they're not going to really come in handy early game.
I would think that the Fatal Bonds would be handy maybe as a value point for a little harassment damage.
But maybe? even maybe level 5 then.
Yeah.
Or 4.
This. I think I'd buy into the stats W thing.
But yeah, I mean, I think that is... It's going to up your mana pool. It's going to get you that extra mana. It's going to get you a little extra right click. It's going to give you a little extra HP. It's not a bad idea.
So are you looking to... Are you looking to get... I mean, obviously you can get kills if they're available to you. But are you looking to gank? Or are you just kind of trying to wait until the laning phase ends?
You're a pretty passive person as a warlock, in my opinion.
You're just trying to get that farm, right?
Yeah, you're really just trying to get farm
and
levels.
Trying to not lose.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I think you're trying to get farm probably more than not lose. I think you can harass them out of the lane.
I think you can harass pretty well with the Shadow Word.
Okay.
But yeah.
So what about after the laning phase? Like what's the general strategy after that?
You really want to be careful with your golems. You don't want to just drop them for no reason.
There's a pretty decent bounty for them, right?
Well, 200, I think.
Oh, really?
I think
if somebody else on my team kills Roshan, I get
200 gold. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it has a decent cooldown. So, I mean, you want to have them available for both team fights and for pushing, because they do really good push damage.
Yeah. So that's what you want to be looking to do, is he fits into push strategies real well.
Yeah, which is, I mean, mostly. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Which is pretty much everybody right now.
Okay. Okay, so I'm gonna start with Ben. Is this a recommend? Is Warlock a recommend?
As a carry or just in general?
Just in general.
I'll recommend him in general.
Okay. Jared?
I really like him right now.
Okay. I think for the sake of argument, I'm gonna give him a do not recommend.
What? Why?
That's fair.
What do you not give us a reason at least?
You guys were recommend, so I'm just gonna go do not
recommend. That's your reason?
Yeah, you want a dissent. That's the reason.
That's my reason.
It's a horrible reason.
Controversy.
Actually, in reality, I think I like the idea of running him as a core. I think even a mid, he would work out well. Safe lane carry / hard farmer, you're going to have to convince me on that one.
We'll see.
But depending on farm priority, run as a core. I think he's one of these.
Yeah, he's definitely a buy.
I give him a definite buy.
How about as a support? Do you like him as a support?
No.
Interesting.
I like him less as a support.
Yeah.
Okay.
What does he do as a support?
Yeah.
I think he's a closer.
He's a closer. Okay, thanks, Ben.
He is. He comes in and he can take those towers down late.
There's so many other heroes.
Give me Shadow Shaman.
Yes. Give me Shadow Shaman.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's the best one.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
He's similar to that, though. I think he's similar.
I would agree with
that. But not as much
that.
Crowd control. But I would take Shadow Shaman over that, too. I agree.
For sure.
Okay, let's move on to the item of the week. The item of the week is Rod of Atos.
I believe so.
Atos.
Commonly known as the Rod of Owie.
Yeah, explain this to me, Jerry. Jerry. What's this?
You got it, Bri. You got it, Bri. Brian. Brian?
Brain.
Bryce?
Sure.
All right. So the Rod of Atos is not a very common item pickup, but there is a pro player that builds one quite often.
AUI 2000.
AUI 2000. So...
Because he used to build it on Death Prophet a lot, right?
He builds it on anyone.
Okay.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. He just loves it, huh?
He loves it. And you know what? That's fine. I think it's a value item that is underutilized.
Okay.
But you see it a lot now on Skywrath Mage.
Mm, yeah, that makes sense.
I can see it
for that.
Yeah.
So, Rod of Atos, whatever it is, consists of two staves of wizardry.
Staff of wizardries.
And is it the health booster?
Vitality booster.
Vitality booster. Excuse me.
Yeah,
it costs $3,100.
Mm-hmm.
It has an active on it called Cripple, slows the target's movement speed, which is a 60% slow.
60% slow.
That's nothing to sneeze
Duration
at there.
Of 4 seconds.
Intelligence plus 25 and plus 350 health.
Here's the crazy part.
Yeah.
It costs 50 mana, which, I mean, okay, whatever, not too much.
Not too bad.
It's got a 10-second cooldown, though.
And 1,200 range.
1,200 range.
Decent That's
range
pretty wild.
That, yeah. So you got good range. You got good uptime with it. It's almost always going to be available. And what I love about it, there's no stinking recipe. There's just the two staves, the one booster.
And you're done.
And then, but here's the other thing. The two staves by themselves are only going to give you 20 intelligence. This thing gives you 25.
Hey.
The vitality booster only gives you 250 health. This thing gives you bonus 350.
That's true. That's efficiency, baby.
Yeah, exactly. It's a super efficient item.
Mm-hmm. What's the total cost of the item? Do we know the total cost?
$3,100.
$3,100.
It's not dollars.
Space bucks.
It's dollars. $3,100.
Space gold coin.
Gold.
Yeah. But
Yeah,
I think
like
it's
that.
A super efficient item for the price and great uptime, good slow.
Mm-hmm. It seems like you generally want to build this thing on intellect cores.
Right.
So I'm thinking OD.
Totally.
Death Prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, even Enigma.
Yeah.
Skywrath
Mage.
Skywrath freaking Mage.
Right.
Who else? Maybe that's it.
Warlock.
Warlock, right, Warlock.
I don't know if it makes the most sense on Warlock or not, but we don't necessarily put these together so that it makes things easy and fun for Ben.
Yeah, one of these
I did that for Weaver last week for him, because I gave him...
What was it last week?
The Perseverance builds right into the Lincoln Sphere.
Oh, well,
you made it too easy, you mean?
I made it too easy for you.
Yeah, one of these weeks, Ben, we're going to drop the hammer.
Although, the Hand of Midas won.
Well, I think, in fairness, I don't think I've won any of the games yet that I played for this challenge,
Perfect.
The Hand of Midas one isn't terrible, though. You just have
to
find
I think you'll win the
game.
You'll win the Weaver game when you should be able to win that one.
Anything else about the Rod of AUI?
No, I think... I really like it as an item. I think it's underutilized.
Okay.
I think it's a super efficient guy.
That's fair.
And it's not super expensive. So
$3,100. It's not too bad.
Just want to buy it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to Noobs Ask Noobs.
Okay.
That first question is really long.
Let's just read it. It's fine.
Okay.
Well, first, I think I can paraphrase it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Ben.
Just paraphrase it, Ben.
Well, the Six Pass, friend of the show, the Six Pass, who wanted to be updated or upgraded to friend of the show.
Okay, sure.
Had a question about
no
lore.
That.
Some very specific questions about lore.
Hold on. Everyone is a friend of the show, though.
Well, Six Pass is a friend of the show this week. He's the friend of the show.
Yeah, but everyone's a friend of the show. There's no need to be upgraded to it. You're a friend of the show.
If he wants to be upgraded to friend of the show, let's upgrade him to friend of the show.
He's a friend of the show.
Perfect.
You are upgraded, Six Pass.
Nailed it.
He had a lot of questions about lore. So let's just talk about lore. I don't think we have, unfortunately, specific answers for your questions.
This stuff is pretty in-depth.
But I think, yeah, let's talk about lore in general. How do we feel about Dota lore? Is it important? And is it okay that people want to know about it? Because he feels like a geek.
My answer to both of those is lore important to the game? I would argue that... I hate saying this. I would argue that it is not. But with that said, I love lore.
Okay.
I would agree that it's not necessarily important to the game or vital to actually play the game, but I think it's super interesting from the game.
And it adds so much flavor and character.
And depth.
And depth into the game.
I think it can, but I think there, and I'm not saying, because I don't know enough about Dota 2 lore to say this.
Yeah.
Some games have lore for the sake of having lore, and you can just kind of tell. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And at that point, it's like, do you really need the lore?
Turns into the Slimmerillion or whatever it is, Jared.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The Lord of the Rings novel.
You're knocking Tolkien. That's interesting. But anyways,
I have no problem. Have you ever read that? Have you ever read the Slimmerillion?
I've heard it's very unreadable.
Yeah, I've read that in eighth grade.
Right.
I got dumber.
Yeah.
Hold on. Can we just back up here? Ben goes, you're knocking Tolkien. That's interesting.
That's interesting.
Wow, the snark here, folks.
Watch out.
Yeah.
But I think... God. So the Six Pass was kind enough to give us a link that looked like it might be of use.
I think somebody replied to that, and I just put it in there as well.
From friend of the show, Bosanicat.
Bosanicat.
So thanks for taking a look at the Noobs-esque Noobs thread and posting something in there.
But I'd like to know more about that, because I still don't know what an ancient is or why we're protecting or trying to destroy these things. But it sounds like, from what the Six Pass is saying, there's all kinds of interesting... maybe statements that are said during matches from Bristleback. He pointed out different things going on that I think maybe they did a good job with it. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, then there's things like the Storm Spirit, Earth Spirit, and Ember Spirit, like that are like. There's certain things. Certain like people are like pandas.
I have no idea. I think here's the thing.
Brewmaster's a panda of some sort or something.
You've kind of created some interest in us, and maybe we'll look into it a little bit more. I'll be honest, I have some reservations about Dota 2 lore just because the game was created around the Warcraft 3 universe.
Yeah.
And so I feel like a lot of it was just kind of forced based on what was already there.
Hmm. No, that's probably
maybe
true.
I could be wrong. You know, I don't know.
That's probably true.
Yeah. No, a lot of the models are based off of them. But now that it's branched off from the Warcraft 3 thing.
But the lore was around since Dota 1, though, right?
No, it's all new lore.
Oh, the lore is new.
I believe there's a lot of Well, I think there's like some ties here and there. Like I don't know. I know they've written a lot of
stuff.
This
is why I didn't want to touch the specific questions because I know we don't have answers. But I think it's something we need to look into.
Well,
lore is good.
Last Talon showed me this thread that Bosanicat introduced on the Noobs Ask Noobs thread.
Mm-hmm.
The same thread?
Have you guys looked at that thread?
No.
It is really long. Like, it's
super
very
intense.
Intimidating. It's
super intense.
I was, like, looking for a synopsis, and I was like, I asked Last Talon, I was like, look, is there a synopsis for that? And he goes, that's it.
Well, did you figure out what an ancient is?
No.
You still don't know what an ancient is?
No.
From what I understand, it's a building of some sort.
Is it a building? Or
I don't
kind
know.
Of a creature?
But
I thought it was a building.
I don't know.
It's a creature?
Was it like one of the old ones from H.P. Lovecraft or something?
Oh, sweet Jesus, man.
I don't know.
Friend of the show, The Six Pass, has been listening since day one.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Round of applause for
old-timer. Old-timer.
Why don't you do like definitely a buy or something?
Yeah.
You like to push buttons.
I'm giving it a clap.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
He's on a different screen.
Yeah, get over it, Ben.
It's hard.
Okay, next one
we
comes...
We can't really answer the rest of his questions. I don't think we know the answer.
Next one comes from a friend of the show, Cody. Two questions on a similar topic. One, power treads. I find myself buying treads often,
mm-hmm.
but tend to just default to whatever my hero type is. So, strength-based hero, I'll leave it to strength.
Sure.
How does a typical player make use of power treads?
So, there's this really cool thing that's called tread swapping,
This
is so up my alley.
I'm excited to hear you talk about tread swapping.
This is so next-level stuff. I love it.
Okay.
So, when you get the treads, they add 8 to 1 stat. But you can change what stat that is. So let's say that you are an agility-based hero. Okay? I'll use Anti-Mage for an example. If you keep him on your agility base, you're going to get the extra 8 damage because it's your base stat. And you're going to get a little extra armor and, you know, attack speed.
Sounds
which is
good.
Great, yeah. But let's say that you're then getting somebody who's coming around and ganking you. If you quick switch it to strength, you're going to get that, well, what's 8 times 19?
I don't know, Jared. You're our resident math expert.
That's 92. You're going to get 92 health right there just from switching from agility to strength traits.
Right.
So you're going to get some extra health. Or let's say that you're going to, you know, you want to cast something, but you don't have the mana for it. If you switch to your intelligence treads.
Now, this is something you're that gonna, I you're gonna have get noticed extra. And have benefited from. Sometimes it's the difference between being able to cast a spell and not.
Let's say that you have a bottle.
TPing away.
Exactly.
Or, yeah.
Or you have a bottle. If you switch your treads to agility before you use the bottle, it's going to maximize it because everything's percentage-based. So after you switch it back to strength, you're going to actually have more strength because you had less strength when you used the bottle because the bottle does, like, you know, the regen.
Or you're going to... You're going to have more HP, is that what you mean?
Yeah, you're going to have more raw HP.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, just being aware of, like, what's going on, like, if you switch to the agility
treads... Do you mean it'll restore more HP?
Right, total amount, yeah. Because when if you...
It's percentage-based, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So if you had, you know, I don't know the numbers. I don't want to example numbers offhand, but just trust me on that one.
Okay.
It's good.
We're trusting you, Jared.
Yeah. So
there's ways to exploit the treads, basically.
Oh, yeah. So much to it.
Okay, and Cody's next question I'm a little confused about.
Yeah,
okay. Number two, attribute assignment. Okay. Similar to power treads, I usually assign my attribute points to whatever my hero type is, or I often use in-game builds, and they tend to always suggest you put your points into strength. I would assume if he's playing a strength hero, that's what it would recommend. Is there a good rule to follow on this?
You can assign attribute points?
That's what I was wondering. Does he mean, like, just buying items, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
But if you...
Because when you put a point in attributes...
It gives it two to everything, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you assign a point to attributes, it gives you 2 points into each of the three stats.
Right. Okay, so if the question is...
So let's say...
If the question is you're playing a guide, let's say you're playing Warlock...
Mm-hmm. Who's an intelligence based hero?
Does it make sense to stack intelligence?
Yes.
In some respects.
Certainly. I mean, to a certain extent. It depends on what you're trying to do. I mean, some items, if they have actives or like ags for Warlock, makes a lot of sense.
Right. Or let's use this example. If you are playing Warlock and you're rushing your ag scepter to get that extra golem, would you buy your Staff of Wizardry before your Ogre Club? Right. So you're plus 10 to intelligence before you're plus 10 to strength.
I would tend to, but there's times where...
See, I would not.
Yeah.
I would not, because I want to get that extra HP.
Right, the health could make a big difference.
Exactly, because you're going to get that 190 health just from that one Ogre Club.
I think the answer is it depends. And I think the best thing you can do is if you hover over the stats, it tells you what each stat does. So
it'll show you what strength does.
And you just need to think through, do I want to be doing more damage? Do I want to have a better mana pool? Do I need more armor, more health?
Yeah,
right,
and
right.
make your decision on what item you buy... based on that a little bit. So also, I mean, you have to think which items were expensive. If I get killed, can I not get that next item? You
know, there's
a lot of things that go into that decision.
So like everything in Dota 2, it depends.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love this game.
I totally agree. That's why we have a podcast about it. Okay. Jared, there's been a couple questions about the WLD League, or the WLDL, as it's now being colloquially referring to
as... WLDL?
WLDL.
Ugh, WLDL. That's really hard to say.
I don't like it.
It's really hard to say.
Can we just call it We Like Dota League?
So
yeah, you can. That's fine.
Let's just do a brief update.
It's the same amount of syllables, right? Let's do the clapping game.
All right.
Well, other than the D.
Trying to move the show along, Ben.
You know what I'm saying?
So
one more syllable.
So I complimented you earlier on really being on cue with getting us rolling in the show. As soon as I do that... The page turns, and you instantly go into troll mode, and you try to derail the show.
You should have known better.
I really should have.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right. So let's just talk about where we're at with everything.
Okay.
So we're working with Bunny and Field Studies on rules. We have a whole list of rules that we are currently...
Yep. We're finalizing.
We're finalizing them. We're combing over them.
There are actually rules drafted, though.
Yeah.
We are working on it.
Yep.
Yeah. And the biggest thing is that we want to get the date out there that it is going to be starting Friday, the 3rd of October.
Correct.
We do have a format worked out.
I think the teams are all finalized too, right?
I believe so.
We're locked in at 16 teams.
But there's room for free agents, or what do we want to call them? Stand-ins?
Stand-ins
pool, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Which I would have to assume, since we're doing Friday nights, there's going to be a need for some stand-in.
So the people that were in the stand-in, we'll call them the stand-in or free agent pool.
Stand-in pool, yeah.
After all the teams were locked in, there's teams that you can, those teams can either recruit people from the free agent or stand-in pool, or, you know, you can just recruit them to be stand-ins, or if there's free spots on the team, you know, all that good stuff.
Sure.
But other than that,
but yeah, that's we're shooting for the third. Yeah. We're going to do this like 16 teams. We're going to have four kind of, I guess we'll call them
like regions almost.
Yeah, if you will. We're going to do four regions where you'll play each one of those teams.
Groups.
Yeah, each one of those groups. Yeah,
groups better.
Perfect. Yeah. At least once. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we're going to seed into a single elimination bracket.
Correct. Which, and I believe we're all kind of okay with this taking a little bit longer.
It will take a while.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But that's just because we want to be realistic with people and ourselves.
Right.
That this isn't something that we're going to... It's not going to be our lives.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't.
We can't do a professional, a quote-unquote professional format with this. So
There's no prize money on the line.
Well, there's that too. Yeah.
There's no prize money on the line. We might.
So I'm sorry if we were misleading people on that. I don't think we were.
No,
but
not at all.
I think it was pretty.
There were never any prizes stated.
Well, we're going to probably come up with some sort of a prize, but it will be in minimal.
Will either be free monetary, to us,
yeah. maximum $5 value.
Yeah, I mean we're not talking much, so.
But yeah,
we're looking into ways that, you know, for season,
it might be pantsless
two, season two, we might be able to come up with something better.
Right.
Right.
And we're trying to explore some options that Valve has out there, but for now.
Yeah. And there's been questions asked about if you're on a different server, what we're going to do with that. But we have, you know, coin flip mechanics and stuff in place for that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we're working through with the rules.
Yeah, absolutely. So
we're trying to, and once we get those published, we obviously will want everybody to review them and have questions and.
We're doing that in a fair manner. It's not going to be, you know, you're
it's not
going to
be like we're playing US East every game. You're screwed.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And if you're in another time zone, we kind of want to keep it to the same time that we have community nights on Fridays, which is around the 8 to 9 p.m. But if you're in another time zone,
we want to be realistic to that.
We can be realistic to that. We can make arrangements for that, or you can have another time. I can't guarantee that you'll have somebody who will be there to cast the match.
Right, but we want to always have like an admin available for those.
Absolutely.
So that's basically the biggest thing that we want to have as a contributing factor is that we have a third-party admin.
And I think bringing it back, just the whole point of this is to have fun again. This is a
100%.
Fun,
absolutely.
God,
fun
yes.
league. It's fun to be somewhat competitive. It's fun to be practicing with our teams, getting better at the game together. And this is just really meant to be just a means to do that, to have some more organized Dota fun, because we're not playing at the International or something.
It's
like
your local bowling league.
It's your local bowling league. So
and some people are tryhard with that, and that's fine.
Which is fine. Yeah. Just go in with realistic expectations on what you're getting.
We're going to be wearing bowling shirts.
And this is a beta test.
And Ben, that's a reminder for me.
Yeah, that's a reminder for you, Brian.
And for you.
Well, we'll definitely be getting team shirts on our
Oh, God, yes.
Without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I believe Bunny sent a message on Steam or Reddit to all the team captains. We are assembling a compendium website.
Compendarino!
Pretty neat.
Or I should say Bunny is assembling a compendium website.
Thank you,
no
Bunny.
Kidding.
By the way, hats off to Bunny. Bunny has just been going crazy and just being super helpful.
He's good at things that we're bad at.
And yeah.
It's nice. He's been, organizational things.
Organization.
He's been building this compendium website and... yeah, just helping us with the administration of all this, and especially in the past couple of weeks when we were really, really busy, Bunny's really been helping out quite
a bit. Good fan support, some good fans that are helping us out.
Yeah.
It's been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay.
So thanks for that, guys, seriously.
Thank you out to the listeners.
Super
for
humbling.
Us out with some things. It's
totally.
Great.
All right, let's wrap up the show. Jared, where can we find you online?
Mainly on Twitter, handle +3000, PLUS number 3000. I try to tweet as often as possible.
And you do.
Not always about Dota, a lot of times about hockey. Hockey season is coming up.
We want it all.
Training.
We want what Jared's interested
Prospect
in.
Prospect camp opens 2 weeks from Tuesday.
Okay.
So we got to get excited for that, guys.
I'm excited to be excited about hockey through proxy.
Absolutely.
Besides the three of us in this room, how many Blue Jacket fans do you think actually listen to our podcast?
Ever?
Yeah.
I would say probably six people might know what even the Blue Jackets
are.
What
a Blue Jacket is. Yeah.
So.
Okay.
That's something to get excited about.
Sure.
I'm excited. I think it'll be good.
I love hockey.
Ben, where can we find you online?
At Dota Yadnub on the Twitter.
Fantastic. You can find the website at welikedota.com.
Oh, yes.
Which I'm in process of doing a little facelift on
that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
We're also We Like Dota on Twitter, Reddit, YouTube, and Twitch. Which, just a heads up, we're going to be moving towards the 4 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time recording time.
On Sundays still.
On Sundays. The three of us had to adjust our schedules a little bit now that the summer's over. So just a heads up there. And let's see, am I forgetting anything else?
Theme music by Michael Edwards of the Flipping Tables Podcast.
That's correct. You can check out their podcast at flippingtablespodcast.com. If you're into technology, pop culture, and all that's and gaming and getting pissed off about it,
they have some good conversations. That's the place to go. It's fun.
It's a fantastic podcast. Yeah, I listen to it every week.
They are fun to listen to.
Yeah. So I think that'll do it. We went a little late this time, but that's all right.
It's my fault.
And
probably
100%.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see you guys next week.